Okay, let's open the Word of God to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. As we continue our study in understanding spiritual love, I think love is the most complicated of all of the attributes of God, because everybody has their own idea of what love is and isn't. And most Christians want to make it human love, something that they generate. I talked with a man this week who is involved in Christian literature and things, and he had a real eye opener because he said, "Well, we got to do something, and we've got to love." And I said, "How are you going to do that without the Holy Spirit?" And it was just some silence, and I said, "You can't. You cannot love the way God wants. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't it?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then you got to know how to be filled with the Spirit to get that love." And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are, Father, that you have let us know what you desire from us. And you have given us the power to do that in giving us the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things that we might see this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Before we do that, I want to share something with you. I had an interesting week. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2, which we will be studying Wednesday night. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 2, what I want you to look at is verse 3, just as way of introduction this morning. Then he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." And I thought about, like this morning, I'm so thankful you're here, but where is everyone else? Aren't they interested in the Word of God? Are they not interested in spiritual love? Are they not interested in what we're studying? Are they just not interested in the Word of God at all? And as I read this, whether they listen or not, that's not my job. It's not my responsibility to go out and knock on doors and drag them to class. That's not my job. My responsibility is to have ready what the Lord says to me to say. That's my responsibility. I'm thankful you're here, and I'm thankful we have the internet. So now let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are easy to find if you can find the book of Revelation. Revelation's easy to find if you get past the maps and the concordance. Alright, 1 John chapter 3. What I want to note, first of all, this morning, is plural and singular. Let's look at verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments." Plural. Verse 23. "This is his commandment." Singular. So, plural, singular. But look at it in verse 23. "One, believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and two, love one another. So even in verse 23, he uses a singular, but gives a double. Gives two, plural. And it's amazing how faith and love are really one command, yet we could say that they are two. I was driving on the street, and got at a red light, and there was a red light, then there was another red light, but then on the third one, it had two arrows red. And I thought, that's interesting. It had a singular, but a double here, and the double is singular going that way. And I don't want you to get confused, but I want you to see that while they are plural, they're singular. And while they're singular, they're plural. So let's take a look at this now in regard to our study. Do people know how Jesus Christ loves by the way you love? That's the great issue of our being here. Do they know how Christ loves by the way you love? At home, church, work, grocery store, life, wherever you go. Do they know how Christ loves by the way you love? See? And it becomes a great issue. Now, verse 23, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Verse 23, we have the ideal of salvation connected with living the Christian life and loving as Christ loves. We believe in Christ as Savior. We're to love as He loved. Now, verse 24 continues abiding of Christ in us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, and the one who keeps His commandment, that's the singular now, and the one who keeps His commandment abides in Him, and He in Him, and we know by this that He abides in us by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. So when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, see, our body is a temple. Our body is the temple of the Lord. Now, the Lord will come in when the Holy Spirit makes it a sanctuary. But when we are in the flesh, not in the power of the Spirit, Christ doesn't want to be there. So He's not there. But when we're empowered by the Spirit, sanctuary, that's when Christ wants to come in and be with us. Now, with that, we go back to where we left off last week. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5 now. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. I've said it now about 3 or 4 times, but let's just say it one more time. You got to stay in context. Because we cannot be imitators of God. We're not deity. But in context, it comes off of verse 32 of chapter 4. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So therefore, be imitators of God. What does it mean in context? Forgive. Forgive in Christ. That becomes the great issue. And again, I've said it 4 or 5 times now, but just in context. Christians have a reason to forgive another believer or unbeliever, and that's Christ. The unbeliever has no foundation, but they are often more readily ready to forgive than believers are. I like the scene in John Cusack's movie, and Oh, point blank. And at the end of the movie, the very end of the movie, they're driving away, he and his girlfriend, and they're going to get married. And he said, let's just forgive each other. And she says, let's forget about forgiving and just forget it. So, and that, in a way, is what we're doing when we forgive someone. You don't hold it against them anymore. All right, now let's look at Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. People, it's amazing how that's how God thinks of us. Beloved children. In Ezekiel, even though Israel is rebellious, hard-headed, will not listen to the word of God, he still calls them children. His children. That's a wonderful relationship we have with God. Now let's look at verse 2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Okay. Walk in love. Not just any love, though. This is not a love that comes from your flesh nature. Just as Christ also loved you. This is so superior to human love. There is no love more superior than the love that Christ has for us. Can we turn this up and I just talk softer? Won't strain my voice. I'm sorry? Yeah, I'm going to turn it down. All right. There is no superior love for us to pursue than to love as Christ loved. There is no human in history who loves better than Jesus Christ, whose love is better to imitate than that of Jesus Christ. So, those who reject him, those who refuse to believe in Christ as Savior, have trouble understanding love. Why not? They reject him, they have trouble understanding love. Love is related to a person. That's what we saw last week. Love is related to a person. You reject the person, you reject the love. That makes sense? Love is known in the person of Christ. You reject the person of Christ, you reject love. Love is known in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. You do not grow in the understanding of him and the knowledge of him. Then you do not grow in the knowledge of understanding love. It's that simple. Christians, and especially non-Christians, do not understand love because they reject Jesus Christ. The Christian refuses to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They think they understand love. They'll claim that they love. In fact, some of them claim they love better than Christians. But by no means do they. This love is supernatural. Supernatural. By that I mean it comes from the third member of the Godhead. This love did not judge in sin, separated us from us when we were in sin, but what it did do was what was necessary, and that was to remove the judgment of sin. And that's what his love did. God saw the need. God offered the need, fulfilled it. The need was taking care of our sin problem. And so he took care of the sin problem. Christ saw the sin problem, took care of the sin problem, died on a cross. This is something no unbeliever will understand. No Muslim will understand this. No Hindu will understand this. No atheist will understand this. No Buddhist will understand this. Because they do not understand Jesus Christ. This is something that only those who are in Christ can understand. And not all of them do. Because unfortunately, not all believers desire to learn the Word of God. I'm sorry. 3 classes a week is pitiful. We should have at least 5 classes a week. I'm doing good, as you see, get people here on Thursday, Sunday morning, and Wednesday night. And that's a shame. We should have 7 classes a week, packed, learning and studying the Word of God. People are not interested today. Too many other things to do. Too much other things to occupy their time. Work, fun, social, life, hobbies, interest, whatever it is, TV. I'm amazed that anyone would stay home and watch TV rather than listen to the Word of God. There's nothing good on TV. It's pitiful. I mean pitiful. Judith and I are thinking about dropping the cable because we go through and go through and go, and there's nothing good on. There's nothing good. See? So, it's just, the only way we're going to learn about love is to learn about Christ and how He loved. It's amazing how many parents judge and point out everything the child does wrong. It's amazing how many husbands and wives think that love is straightened out by pointing out the wrong in the other person. Believers think that love is straightening everyone out. That's when you truly love, when you straighten people out. This is not the love of Christ, people. This is not how Jesus Christ loved us. He gave Himself for us. He didn't say, "Well, you dirty, rotten, no good scoundrels, I'm through with you." He didn't do that. One of the most amazing things that I've discovered in Ezekiel on Wednesday night. They are hard-hearted, stiff-necked, rebellious, transgressors, on and on and on. And yet He loves them. He sends them a prophet. He sends them His Word. He still cares about them. He calls them children. He calls them a house. He doesn't let them have it and walk away. He's going to discipline and discipline and discipline because He loves them. He doesn't go on and leave them. What do you do with your love? Nor did He demonstrate what His love was by just walking away. Christ could have said, "I'm through with all of you people. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to my Father. And He and I and the Holy Spirit will sit down and we'll have a good glass of Bordeaux. And I'm forgetting about you people." He didn't do that. He said, "I love you. I'll go to the cross for you." So He did not walk away. He did not avoid, listen, He did not avoid the demands of love. Love is demanding. It is super demanding in people's life. So we have to recognize the demands of love, and then decide, are you going to meet those demands or not? This is the way people think that love should operate. Just leave and walk away. I know people who love that way. You should give thanks every day that Jesus Christ loves us and did not just walk away. His love motivated Him to go to the cross. His love did not motivate Him to just walk away. He did not walk away when we were unbelievers. He's not going to walk away when we're believers and we're in sin. He's not going to. You've got to understand that. He's not. His love will not do that. So, the question comes down. Do others see the love of Christ by you? By the way you deal with them when they are in sin? Let me repeat that. Do others see the love of Christ by the way you deal with them when they are in sin? When they're out of the plan of God? When they're wrong? Will they see the love of Christ? Or do they see your human love? How you love, walk away, attack, all these other ways that we deal with things? Or do they see the way Christ dealt with them when He sinned? It's a very important question. Now, how did Christ deal with us when we were in sin? He removed the problem. He took care of the sin. How do we do that? Forgiveness. That's how we remove the sin. We cannot remove it judicially. We remove it experientially in our relationship with one another by forgiveness. Now, next, we have how He loved us. He gave Himself up for us. That's how He loved. Decision of love, the demand of love, is met by the need of man. The demand that love put on Christ is because of the need of mankind. We were in sin. We were alienated from God. We were destined for an eternal lake of fire. Rightfully. He is righteous, we're unrighteous. So there's a need. There's a need. Now, the decision of Christ is He going to satisfy that need? The need is determined by the state of the person. The need is determined by the need of love. What does love need at that point? And what love needed, what we needed, was the removal of our sins. And that's what He did on the cross. Whatever it takes. And that's a tough phrase. Don't just go by that. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to restore man to God. Lost. See, what did it take? Incarnation? Crucifixion. That's what it took. He had to become a member of the human race, and that's so important. We studied that Wednesday night, dealing with the purity of the human race. The Messiah had to be pure human. Therefore, we studied the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5, and then we skipped over to the genealogy of Genesis chapter 10. Well, wait a minute. What about 6, 7, and 8, and 9? That is the contamination of the human race by demonic beings. Therefore, we had impure humans. Therefore, the flood, removing all impure humans, which was all of the human race but one family, Noah. So where the genealogy ended in chapter 5, it picks up in chapter 10 as the first, Noah. So God cares about the perfect human race. And Jesus Christ came, therefore, in the incarnation, a member, a pure member of the human race. And then crucifixion. As a member of the human race, die, whatever it takes. This is how Christ loved. This is the obligation of love, whatever it takes. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. A glass of water, drink of water. No, I had it. That's what I'm saying. I'm bragging. Okay. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Just as, not as you want, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. What a non-theological circumstance, husband and wife relationship, and what a powerful theological statement, and gave Himself up for him. Yet people, they're related. How are they related? They both involve love. The husband is to love his wife, but not just with any kind of love. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. I like to point out to people, Adam became a Christ type. Adam did not have to eat of the forbidden fruit. Had he not eaten, he would have remained alone in the garden. Eve would have been put out of the garden. Adam would have had to stay there alone. But he didn't want to be alone. So he fell, took on her sin, that he might be with her. That's what Christ did for us. He took our sins upon himself, that he would not be alone, and that he would be united with all those who believed in him. This is what love does. Love understands the whole issue of what's going on. Love understands that person. Love understands that need. Love understands what the sacrifice may be. And then love makes a decision to meet that sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, husbands, if you fulfill this literally, you only get to do it one time. Because you only get to die once. And that's it. But, day in and day out, the husband gives up his life for her. I would rather do this. I'd rather do that. I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that. He gives up his own desires for her. See? In my 10 years of marriage, I've learned what this means now. For 69 years, well, adulthood, so say 50 years, not counting teenagers at all, it's all been me. If I wanted something in the house, fine. If I didn't, fine, leave it alone, let it go. I just didn't care about the carpet, leave the carpet alone. Don't worry about it. See? Then I got married. The carpet goes. See? There, that goes, this goes, that goes, everything goes, see? My big clip speakers, they go, see? Huh? They go. So, but these are the things that have to happen. You see what the need is, and you meet that need. Let's look at a Galatians passage. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20. Now Paul is speaking, but it applies to all of us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, not in, but of, the Greek it says of, the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Faith of the Son of God, the reason they translated in, they can't make any sense out of the faith of the Son of God. I can. Faith in the Holy Spirit, faith in the plan of God. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. He trusted God that if he gave himself up and died, God would raise him up. So he trusted God and God's plan. So it's the faith of, and we live by faith. We do these things by faith. Delivered himself up for me. That's how our love is. Over and over is the emphasis. We are to love as Christ loved. And the main thing about his love, he gave himself up for me. That's how I am to love my husband, wife, people in the church, family, work, life. I'm to love as he loved. And he gave himself up. It's not about me. It's about him. It's a, they will see how Christ loved by the way I love them. That's what you want them to see. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loved. Look what it cost him. That's the way I like to word it. Nothing will make greater demands, not being righteous, not being moral. Nothing will make greater demands on you than to love as Christ loved. It cost Christ the cross. Now, are you willing to imitate this kind of love? Don't say that to anybody. It's got to be between you and God. And that's a big decision. Are you willing to make the demands on your life that the love of Christ will cost you? Are you willing to imitate this kind of love? You have to make that decision. And here's the tricky part of this. You don't get to make it one time. Salvation is a one-shot decision. You believe in Jesus Christ, you're transformed. You're born anew. You're born from above. You're born again. You become a new spiritual creature. 34 things are given to you. Multitude of things happen. But living the Christian life is not even one time a day. You don't get to get up in the morning and say, I love as Christ loved today, and then an hour later, not do it. You don't get to do that. See, you made that first decision, and I'm proud of you, but you made it before you even got out of bed. So it doesn't really count. See? But when you and I live, go start through the morning, through the afternoon, the evening, the demands of love toward husband, wife, family, people in life, work, whatever. Are you willing to imitate this kind of love? We can imitate His love because we're transformed into His image by the work of the Holy Spirit. He's inside you. See? He's inside you. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is inside me. They don't even understand, they'll say it, they don't really understand the mechanics of what that means by the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, is in me and can control me and can guide me. One of the most phenomenal things about Ezekiel, at the beginning of his ministry, Holy Spirit. He can't move without the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'll show you Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit causes him to stand up. He can't even stand up without the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. He can't even stand up without the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in control of us, and that by faith, Jesus Christ is present. And when Jesus Christ is present and the Holy Spirit is present, that love will flow through you. That love will flow through you toward your wife, your husband, your children, your neighbors, work, driving to work, social life, church, whatever. That love will flow if you make that decision to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. This is the love we're to imitate. This is the love we're to pursue. In some of the passages, say, pursue love. Imitate love, pursue love. The love that we're to pursue is an imitation of the love of Christ. Many believers would rather walk away from this kind of love. I don't want to love that person. And right now, I don't even want to love my wife. I don't even want to love my husband. See? And that's going to happen. You've got to understand that. It's not because you're a horrible, evil person. That happens. That's the flesh nature. The flesh nature is about me. And right now, this other person is opposed to me in my mind. And maybe in reality. So therefore, you have to get rid of the flesh person. You have to put on Christ. Colossians. Put on Christ. Put on love. We do that by faith. See? So many people would rather walk away from this love and yet claim that they love as Christ loved. No, you don't get to do that. Not before God. Deceive yourself. Try to fool others. But you don't fool God. And you don't deceive God. He knows every minute what's going on in your soul. Just as Christ also loved you. So let's take a look now and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. His love was the motivating force for all the actions of Christ before us, toward us. Remember, spiritual love is a spiritual force. It's a spiritual force. This week, I was talking to Sean over in the evangelical, and we were talking about this. And he was just, he loved the whole concept. Spiritual love is a force. as a force, it has direction, it has magnitude, it has impact. And I showed him in John 3:16, direction, God loved the world. The magnitude, he gave his only begotten Son. The impact or the effect, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See? And that's the love that we're to imitate. That's the love that we are to pursue in our lives. Our fallen condition could have aroused his holiness in the judgment. Think about that. Our sinful state could have aroused in Jesus Christ his righteousness, his holiness into wrathful judgment. See, into condemning. See? Hebrews chapter 8, finding fault. What did God do? What should God do? What does law demand? Judgment. That's what law demands. Judgment. Condemnation. But that's not what God did. Out of his love, he came up with a new covenant. Another covenant. The covenant of the law, judge them, condemn them, and get rid of them. That's the wrath. That's the righteousness. So he came up with a covenant of love. The new covenant. And this new covenant is based on his love. Finding mankind in sin, what did Jesus Christ do? Instead of judging, he gave himself for us. Look at your passage. Who loved you and gave himself up for us. We could say, therefore, really, and therefore gave himself up for us. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and therefore gave himself up for us. See? He died in our place. Here's what love cost. And by the way, let me tell you something. Here's a love you can trust. Here's a love you can trust. Jim and Annelle Langston, please continue being in prayer. Bless his heart. He's under really bad news this morning, last night, in the hospital. But anyway, they've been married 60 years this last week. And in that 60 years, they've learned about each other. It's a love you can trust. People, that's an astounding love. A lot of people don't trust the love of their husband, the love of their wife. And generally with good reason. They married an unfaithful person. They married a person who's self-centered. But when you love somebody and they've shown you can trust that love, that's unbelievable. For 69 years of my life, the only person I've known like that was my mother. And she knew the worst of me. See? I think she knew how bad I was even better than I knew. See? And yet she still loved. You could trust that love. Now I trust Judas' love. See? But you've got to have a love that you can trust is so phenomenal. It's so stabilizing. It's so calming. It's so pure. It's so wonderful to have a love that you can trust. But people, let me throw the counter on you though. That's the kind of love you want to have. You want your love to be the kind of love that a person can trust. That regardless of the circumstances, you're there. So this is a love you can trust. The magnitude of the love of Christ was giving his own life, and therefore gave himself up for us. The magnitude of his love was to give himself up for us. Now, I'm the kind of teacher that I believe on the cross there were two deaths. Very important. I support this in Isaiah 53, where it uses deaths in the plural. two deaths on that cross. And it's the first one that's the most crucial. That cost him. That is his spiritual death. Jesus Christ, perfect through eternity past, born perfect to humanity, lived a perfect life, no sin at all. That's just amazing. That's amazing. That means 10 years old, he never got mad at anybody. I don't know how he did that. 13 years old, he never disobeyed his parents. That is even more astounding. See? Perfect. A carpenter. He never banged his finger and then let it out. See? That's amazing. Think about it. We believe it, but think about that. A perfect life. And he's not different than you and I. He had to eat, drink, sleep, all these things. No sin. Not one anger. Not one pride. Not one arrogance. That's just astounding. That's embarrassing. That's what it is. See? And then on the cross, he became identified by choice with all of my sins, your sins, everyone's sins. And at that point, he died spiritually, just as Adam and Eve did in the garden. That's the death. See, well, I like to point out, and then he died physically. Having taken care of that, taken care of the cost of judgment sins, he died physically. Now, physical death, which most people emphasize, is important. But let's be honest. A lot of people die physically for other people. Last week, Memorial Weekend, we gave thanks for men and women in our nation's history who've given their lives for the freedom of this country at the founding of the nation and all the wars through this nation. They died defending our freedom physically. Many people have died. See? The first responders, firemen have given their life. Policemen have given their lives. And every time they make a call, they're on the line of giving their life again. Every time. A domestic call. If I were a policeman, I wouldn't want a domestic call for anything in the world. They call me into a house where the gangsters are shooting at me. But don't ask me to go into a domestic, because you never know who's going to shoot at you. The one that's called you or the one that they called about. Dying physically is noble. That's wonderful. But people, it's his spiritual death that paid the price. So he died twice for us. He was both priest and sacrifice. He was both the giver and the gift given. He was both the lover and the love offering. He was all of that. Think about what he offered up for us. When you and I give of ourselves, we're impressed. But think about what he offered up. Deity to humanity. Now people, that in itself is disgusting. We think pretty highly of humanity because we be one. We're better than animals. Well, a lot of us are. Better than animals. Better than dogs and cats. I know people would rather have a dog or a cat than a human being, but that's okay. By and large, we're better than animals. But it's no privilege. People, we're lower than angels. Angels are infinitely superior to us. Their brain is better. Superior. Their makeup is superior. Their movement is superior. See? And Jesus Christ went below angels and became a man. That is just amazing. Deity, humanity. And if that wasn't insulting enough, he died on a cross for humanity. He became a servant of humanity. And therefore the statement, himself, note the phrase, and gave himself. Denial of self-interest for the interest of others. Denial of self-interest for the interest of others. That's the cost of love. That's what our love costs. Denial of our interest for the interest of that person or persons. So denial of self-interest for the interest of others. The price of love. The price of love is the offering, the sacrifice of himself to God. See? The offering offered in place of the human race. Because people, we would have died that way. We couldn't have paid the price. We'd have gone into judgment. We'd have gone into the lake of fire where we were headed. He died in our place. Something we could not pay for. And this is what he did. And in closing, look at Philippians chapter 2. Let's see how this reads in Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, verse 1, if there is any encouragement, it should be since, first class condition. Since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is consolation of love, since there is fellowship with the Holy Spirit, since there is affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being, okay now, of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. See, that's sacrificing of self for the self-interest of others. But with humility of mind, not arrogance, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Now, let me just quickly add, there are people who will do that. They will regard others as more important than themselves, but oh boy, are they so arrogant about it. They're nauseating. You just forget it. You're so sickening. Don't even think about doing it for me. Do it with another person, with humility of mind, regard one another of more importance than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. See, you've got to look out for your own personal interest. But also for the interest of others. Now we come to our study. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, deity, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. What was he talking about there? Satan? Satan would have regarded being deity something to be grasped and not give it up to become a member of the human race. Verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, taking the form of humanity lower than angels, being found in appearance a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. God add his blessing to the reading of his word. This is where we will begin next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we stand amazed and overwhelmed by such a love. But what is really astounding is that very same love can flow through us by your Spirit. That's just amazing. So all the accolades that we could proclaim about Jesus Christ's love, that same love can flow through us. We praise you, Father, for your plan of grace. I pray, Father, your Spirit can use our study this morning for the glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.